The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Me, an advice show for the modern era. I am your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your babyest thought, thinker, social guru, baby brother Griffin McElroy.
Griffin, this week is at the South X South W Festival.
Six was.
I think it's S by S West.
I'm not exactly sure.
No, it is a festival that was created by a race of alien locust people. And so it's the proper pronunciation. And not a lot of people get this. Not a lot of the tech thought thinker gurus here get that it's actually pronounced.
Now, Griffin, quick question. When people refer to themselves as thought thinker gurus,
sure,
are they expelled from the conference?
They are admitted. That's actually when you pick up your badge, they say, we got to take a profile pic for our social site. And you take a profile pic for the social site. And then they say, what's your position? You say, I'm a writer for a video game website. And they go, ooh, close, but no cigar. And you go, oh, no, I'm shit. Sorry, I'm a thought thinker guru. And they're like, okay, come on in. Come on in and disrupt this shit.
Promise me this week, Griffin, when you get the person with the worst job title on their business card, something along the lines of social media professor or ninja of tweets. Master of Twitter foo. You take the card, and then while they look on in horror, you just slowly eat it, never breaking eye contact with
and
them.
And then ask for a second.
Then ask for another one.
The problem is that a lot of these business cards aren't actually business cards. Sometimes they're jump drives. Sometimes they're bracelets. Sometimes they're Twitter accounts.
Sometimes they're rice crackers.
People will just create bespoke Twitter accounts and then hand those out as their business cards just to really drive the point home that they're thought thinkers.
Hey, maybe a slap bracelet would be the way to go.
You goof, but I guarantee it. If I walk down Dirty Six long enough, someone will just like, I'm walking down the street and someone will be like, whoosh, brand cuffs right there on me.
I'm sorry, did you say brand cuffs?
God, Travis, it's like you're living in fucking 2011.
Fair enough.
South by Southwest is it about music? I really don't know.
It's a lot of things.
It's about armadillos and music and people playing armadillos to create music.
That's exactly right. Or turning them
like stomp.
Or turning
like an armadillo stomp.
Or pressing their shells down and turning them into film. That's all the film that gets made here and debuted here, like the Veronica Mars movie debuted last night, was printed on armadillo. You get a really nice quality. If you haven't seen Apocalypse Now on 35mm armadillo skin, then you just haven't seen the film. You just haven't
Griffin,
seen it.
Do you do much star spotting at South by Southwest? Is it an opportunity to spot some celebs?
No. I spent all my time at the gaming side of it, which is like...
Well, forget about it. Then.
Yeah,
we
I know.
Don't have any celebrities.
They keep it across the river from where all the thought thinkers are.
Chuck Norris plays World of Warcraft. Was he there?
He doesn't, and he wasn't, and he can't.
Mr. T does.
He doesn't, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't,
I've
and
seen
he
him
shouldn't.
On the commercials.
And he don't, and he can't.
He's on the commercials, and he plays.
Is that Mario's nephew, Daniel?
Is that Daniel Mario? That's his
Daniel Mario? Yeah, their last name's Mario.
No, it's a bunch of different festivals all rolled into one, and it's I'm not as like jaded about it as literally every other Austinite is, but it does make it. It does disrupt my taco eating because
it's all about disruptive media.
I know
what they mean.
They definitely fucking get in there and they disrupt the line, by which I mean they make it quintuple the normal line for tacos.
Did you just get a Taco Bell?
I just go to Taco Bell. I goofed about that on Twitter. I was like, hey, guys, if you come to Austin for tacos, just go to Taco Bell. There's a reason why it's so popular. And then Taco Bell fucking responded on Twitter. God nice. Damn it. They were like, not cool, Griffin. You kind of hurt our feelings with that one.
Of all the professional relationships for you to jeopardize, you have to go and jeopardize a relationship with Taco
Bell. I know. They fucking lock me out. Where am I supposed to get my fourth meal now? Jack in the Box? No, thanks. They do have tacos there. And spaghetti.
that's troubling.
And steak. They got
and you can do your taxes.
And you can do your taxes at Jotby.
Let's help people. I'm done with this disruptive technology. It's been disruptive to our show long enough. That said, Griffin, if you do spot any stars, like during the recording, please let me know.
If they walk into my office?
Yeah, or walk past your window. This is the real Austin.
I'm looking at two stars right now, my brothers.
Who? Because you can't see us.
It's Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Okay, cool.
They stopped by.
Hi. I was going to say, if you're still seeing stars outside, then you forgot to set your clock forward. That's your problem, not mine.
That's not how daylight savings time works.
That isn't how time works. What are you talking about?
Hello, bro. Yeah, it's called a great joke for the show. I don't actually.
I would prefer that you don't do those anymore.
Don't do great jokes?
Just, all right. I mean, just say what you mean from now on.
I'm done with jokes on this show that are just like silly, you know. So many of our jokes are just like goofy, you know. I want to go back to that old school.
I miss that
joke construction,
that highbrow Dax Shepard shit. I'm on that.
Talked about Dax.
I'm on that Dax.
See, that's just silly. You didn't.
I'm on that Dax.
I want a joke on the show. I need jokes. But set up punchline.
Dax.
Set up.
What do you call a Dax Shepard?
See, this is good, Travis. I don't know. What do you call a Dax? Well, I mean, yeah, presumably Dax Shepard.
You call him Dax Shepard.
Okay.
Because
okay.
That's his goddamn
See,
name.
That had a setup and it had a punchline, but it was a little lacking in the Dax department. If we're talking about basic joke construction.
Okay, Griffin. Dax.
Again, you were sort of deficient.
Dax.
Fuck me.
Hello, brothers. My boyfriend and I have been together almost a year now, and I feel like the fresh buzz of the honeymoon phase is starting to wear off. Is he listening? Put him in front of the radio. Don't get me wrong. I still very much love him and cannot consider a life without him, nor do I want to. It's just hard when I see friends or coworkers starting cute new relationships, and I feel myself missing the unique twangs of new love. This is my first relationship that's ever stuck, so I've never encountered this feeling before. What can I do? That's from Wistful on the West Coast, and it is not a bad question.
No, and I'm very glad that last sort of interjection about this being the first like long relationship, because that happens with your first long relationship, I feel like, and it's not, I don't think it's something that it really is part of the territory once you've been in a couple of these bad boys.
Yeah, and I think that what you're feeling is completely normal.
Sure.
Like, here's the thing. Look, like, what you're seeing is the cute new relationships. What you're not seeing is all the single people desperately trying to connect with another human being, all the shitty new relationships that are starting, all of the problems and fights and awkward breakups and trying to tell someone that the first date didn't work out. All of that. You know, baggage and bullshit.
Even worse, that like the fifth date didn't work out. And that's like, I went through a period where I like had a lot of those sort of like 1 to 2 month long relationships, and it sucked every single time because like you get your own hopes up, you get the other person's hopes up, and then when you realize like that it's not gonna work out, like seriously. In all of my days and all the things I've experienced, that is like the shittiest feeling in the entire world. And like to me, once you find that right person that you love being with and you quote can't like consider your life without, like that is a blessing because you don't have to deal with that other shit anymore.
So here's what you do. You vampire it.
Oh boy.
No, because here's what I mean. You need to then, you and your partner hang out with these new young couples and just kind of feed off their, like, little looks between the two of you and little handholds when it's like, I remember when we were like that. And you get that little, like, tiny burst of that new cute feeling, and then you go back to your house where you already know each other well enough that you don't have to deal with each other's bullshit.
I need you at home to remember that cute new relationship stuff, and this is going to sound cynical, but it isn't. It's your body, it's your like body chemistry way of trying to trick you into procreating. And deep down in your heart, beneath your soul, there's a little man who just wants you. He's like a dirty guy. He's like, just do it. Because he wants you to procreate and spread your species. It's the deepest, most primal impulse you have.
His name is Charles Darwin, and he's a dirty bird.
It's Charles Darwin. He lives in your heart, and he's a dirty bird because he wants you to just do it. Skip all this relationship stuff. Just do it.
Spread the virus of humanity.
This feeling that this new relationship feeling is really just like a, it's like a no interest loan to get you into a custom relationship car. It's it's just a way to suck you in. It suckers you in. And then you, the important stuff is the fact that you have a friend and somebody who supports you and somebody you care a lot about and somebody who's a great match for you. And a lot of that, like, new relationship stuff doesn't have to worry about any of that. Yeah. Like, it's a, you're freewheeling. Like, so yeah, it's cute, but it's also insubstantial,
right?
You know, because it doesn't have the bedrock. It doesn't have anything built underneath it. And I can understand the missing that feeling, but like two things. First off, I have known so many people who have traded in really great relationships for a taste of that feeling again. And that's not to say that I don't feel like romantic love towards my wife every single day and find a new reason why I love her more than anything. That happens. Listen to the show. I gotta cover my fucking bases.
Then me too. I did.
When you've been married 7 years, so, you
all know that what? Shit Justin said, I mean it too for mine.
Yeah, suck me my too. Butt, I love Travis. My wife more and more every day. Okay, like all the grains in the of sand in the ocean.
Exactly. That's where she carried you. Anyway, I've seen people trade in great relationships for a taste of that feeling. You got to remember that once you get to be my age, the number of feelings that you won't feel anymore from youth pile up so much that one's just another one for the stack.
Throw it on the bonfire.
Just throw it on the fire. I don't remember. There's a lot of things I used to feel that I don't feel anymore because I'm old. I'm an old man. I know it's not. You'll just get lost in the shuffle. But I think it could be a really destructive. It could be a really destructive impulse.
Yeah, totally.
This is going to get into like boring, like normal relationship advice crap, so I won't dwell on it. But a great way to sort of get a semblance of this feeling back is to put you and your significant other into a new relationship. I mean, I think we've seen it time and time and again, perhaps in Steve Carell Vehicle Date Night, when you're thrust into a unfamiliar circumstance, you can discover new stuff about the person you're with, and something like that is sort of what that new relationship smell is generating.
You always got to find his one weakness. You always got to pick on his one fucking slip up and never... I'm talking about you, Justin, and your relationship with Steve Carell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I accidentally bring up the incredible Burt Wonderstone?
Also,
is that what you are really always writing his. Even you are his, in his
even
fucking
his
grill.
B stringers are better than most people's A material.
You've all got right, you a fucking timeshare in Steve Carell's grill, and it's fucking shameful. What have you done? You know what I mean?
Did you? I mean, did you see Evan Almighty? I mean, did you
watched it on a plane. It gave me diarrhea. Guys, we kick stuff off like full blown Dr. Ruth style. I don't know if that's the pace that we usually. I got Dr. Ruth.
I hope that helped.
I watched. We watched the episode of Quantum Leap yesterday in season 5, I think like ep 8, where Sam Beckett jumps into Dr. Ruth. This is not a joke. This is an actual episode of Quantum Leap.
Thank God.
It is the craziest hour of television I think I've ever watched in my entire life because Dr. Ruth is in the imaging chamber hanging out with Al Calabici in real life. And, like, helping him deal with his sexual childishness, let's call it. And there's like a
Quantum Leap just like jumped the shark episode two, season
yeah, one. And then it just stayed, it hovered over the shark like Chris Angel mind freak the entire time. There's like a 2-minute segment where they're dealing with the fact that Al Calavici can't say the word breasts because he's such a sexual child, and instead he has to say like bazongas, balloons, beepers, bompos, weep weeps, jim jims, slappers.
And that episode won an Emmy.
And that episode won 2 Emmys.
For best boob scene.
For best nicknames for breasts by Al Calavici. Wow, what a train wreck.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix and it's on Hulu. You're going to want to watch it on Hulu because they don't have all the episodes on Netflix, including the one where Sam leaps into Lee Harvey Oswald.
That's the best.
It's the fucking best. You guys want Yahoo?
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for sending in your Yahoos. We burned through a lot of them because we did the bonus episode with our dad, which you can listen to now if you are a donor. And if you're not, you're about to be because we're kicking off the Max Fun Drive next week. More deets on that soon. But this Yahoo was sent in by Amelie Belcher. Thanks, Amelie. It's by Yahoo Answers user.
Amelie?
What was that?
It's one right attached to the Amelie from
the movie Amelie?
Amelie?
Because she just walks
not
around
an impression. You just.
It's about a young girl.
Hello, I am Amelie.
Who can only say her own name.
I cook an egg with a spoon. Amelie?
Jesus.
She cook an egg with a spoon?
Fall in love again with me, Amelie. Now on DVD.
He's making the money zone. Amelie.
You missed that new relationship spell, baby. Fall in love with me, Amelie. Don't look for me on Blu-ray. I'm not on Blu-ray yet. I'm on DVD. I'm too small to fit on the Blu-ray. They lose me. I am Amelie. I'm hiding near the spindle. I am Amelie. This laser disc is gigantic. I am on the edge of it. Hello. It is like a plate for my egg dinner. Delicious. I am Amelie. I am inside your pocket. You have enough money to buy my DVD.
You have to stop or it'll be the whole show.
I miss VHS tapes because I would get in the little holes and spin around.
Is Amelie a borrower? What's going on?
Yes, I live in a hole with a mice king. I'm married to the mice king. My staff is a lollipop, Amelie.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you. Oh, Christ. Give me a second. All right. Thank you, Amelie Belcher. This is by Yahoo Answers user Erica, who asks, I want to give up Taco Bell for Lent. For Kent, nice start. I was thinking about giving up Taco Bell since I am obsessed with it. But I ate Taco Bell on Ash Wednesday, then later that night decided to give it up. But since I decided after, does it still count or should I give up something else?
You have to double give it up.
Now, how would that happen?
You have to give it up and then steal it from someone else and throw it away.
Oh, so, but that's just thievery. It's not.
Yeah, you got to Robin Hood the Taco Bell. You got to rob from the rich and give to the garbage.
Travis, the problem with your plan is that it's not very sustainable.
How's that?
Or good.
If you want to, okay. If you want to be the first of all taco burglar, you're going to get in a pretty serious trademark dispute with McDonald's.
What about like the gordita grabber?
Gordita grabber, yeah, sure. That's totally kosher.
Gordito bandito.
Can someone explain to me?
Yes.
Lent.
Cause, you give stuff up and you feel bad.
No, I know about Jesus gave stuff up. I know about all that, but like I know that like there's a shit ton of places that do. Like fish, they get like super fish. Like I think like BK is running some ads now where it's like, we got all the fish sandwiches your Catholic mouth can possibly eat. So is it like while Lent is going on, you're also not supposed to eat meat and only fish? Because if that's the case, then like, yeah, Taco Bell, probably not for you. I do not think they have.
It's on Fridays. You're just supposed to eat fish Fridays.
On Lent or around the, like across the calendar?
No, that I do not know. See, I think that it's just like.
Just during Lent, you're not supposed to eat like serious meat on Fridays, I think.
And if I'm not mistaken, that is because back in the day, England had like this huge surplus of fish, and they needed to keep their fishing boats afloat. Because I'm not even joking that their fishing boats.
No, I know you're not joking. That's what makes it funny is that our world is the fucking dumbest.
Yeah, like the fishing boats were also the navy, and they had to keep the fishing boats employed so they could keep their navy afloat. So
hey, it's your old pal Sal Pescolito, your local fisherman. Hey, I just found a new missing page of the Bible. Like, I found it blown around in the street like Bart's nightmare. And let me tell you, it says that Jesus loves fish on Fridays.
Huge fan.
huge fan. Trust me, I'm Sal Pescolito. I remembered my name from when I said it a minute ago.
Which is really the greatest
feat. Which is the greatest feat Griffin McElroy's ever done on this show.
It's a Lent miracle.
Oh, I've been waiting to reference Bart's nightmare for 3 years now.
Finally, and that is the series finale of My Brother and Me.
Okay. Taco Bell. I mean, here's the thing. Here's a little Lent secret. Have you guys ever given anything up for Lent? Can we address that first and foremost? Maybe in high school when all your friends were doing it?
We don't do Lent.
No, I know, but like you didn't like, all your friends were doing it in high school. You were like, you know what? I am too. And
in college, we gave up fast food, but that was like a more of like a excuse for weight loss thing more than it was
sure
any kind of religious. And then what we did is we did not eat fast food for 40 days. And then on the 41st day, fucking
took
just
it to slammed town.
Everything. We drove an hour and a half to the closest Jack in the Box and like just loaded up the vehicle with fast food, drove home and had like a 3 hour feast of fast food. And then we all died.
Yeah. Now tries as a ghost. If you're going to do a Lent thing and you really want to do it for a month and some change, then it's got to be something you can realistically go without for a month and some change. So in that regard, I don't think this is a good idea. Because of course you're going to eat Taco Bell.
You have to
yeah, eat Taco
you'll
Bell.
You'll die.
You'll die if you don't.
I think if your special thing that you gave up for Lent to really prove your devotion to the big guy is Taco Bell, he is already so thoroughly unimpressed with you that, like, he's not going to get out the calendar and double-check you.
Yeah.
It's fine. You're trying your best. You clearly, you know, are giving it your best shot.
Juicer, if you were going to give something up for Lent, what would it be?
It has been so obvious to me since the very beginning. There is only one thing that makes sense to give up for Lent, and that's candy. Because it ends on Easter.
Oh, my
so
God, yeah.
You are just, oh, like, you have preserved your candy virginity. You are red, like, the taste of the succulent taste. What?
You're washed clean, and you're born again candy virginity.
It's your second
candy
virginity.
You've patched your candy hymen.
Your second gummy cherry.
Oh, God.
Yes, thank you. And then once that big, beautiful bunny comes through your house, and leaves you with
and
that
takes
treasure.
Takes your candy virginity.
He takes your candy virginity. It is going to be the best candy you've ever eaten. And God is going to be like, you see?
You did it.
I got you back.
This is why I invented jelly beans.
The intent was always for people to give up candy for Lent. That's always what God intended for you to give up. That's why he made the Easter bunny from Adam's foot.
Did they have?
Yep.
Wow. That's
Chopped right off.
That's 100% biblical scholar Justin McElroy. I think did they have candy back in Bethlehem days?
Yeah, it was probably
shitty. It was like dried salted fish.
Ugh.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's like figs that they tried to jam in the shape of gummy bears. Like, hey kids, we invented candy. No, you didn't.
That's a fig.
Don't try to get ahead of me.
I know I'm only 10, but I know a fig when I see one. It's like one of two foods that we have. It's figs and bread.
That's all we got.
We haven't even figured out you can eat the fish yet. What a great day that's going to be. Only on Fridays, though.
Fridays suck dick.
We can't eat anything. I think back in those days, I think back in those days, like, the sacrifices were so much. Like, I gave up furniture. I gave up furniture for Lent. I gave up standing up.
You only had, like, six things that you could do.
You have furniture, dates, bread,
cocaine.
Coke. Your habit of trying to figure out a way to eat fish.
Yeah, I don't know.
Your obsession with the pursuit
just grab the head
fish.
And the tail and just bite it somewhere. I don't know.
Why does it have this armor on the outside of it? These are disgusting.
I gave up scorpions.
There are not a lot of foods that so willfully try to dissuade you from eating them. Like, you think about fish for a second. Fish is covered in inedible, hard to remove little pieces of chitin.
Yeah.
And then once you get inside and finally find the meat, it's got razor sharp, tiny, thin bones
that are invisible. Invisible to the human eye.
If there's ever been a clearer signal that we're not supposed to eat that, I don't know what it is. Maybe the blowfish that has the poison in it. That was one that Jesus like really tried to get the word out on.
Get the fucking net. Get it. You're not supposed to eat these. But on Friday, the poison is nullified. I don't know if you knew that.
Every Friday, Fugu Friday.
Just swallow it whole, baby. Let it roll.
I think I might have made that thing up about the English and the fish.
Swallow it whole, let it roll. Catholicism.
Another question.
It's a new religion.
Give it another. I need another question.
I'm 22, and I've been working in a manufacturing plant for about 6 months. It's not a terrible job, but it is not what I want to be doing with my whole life. I have dreams of being a stand-up comedian. I know it takes a really long time to get to a point where I can support myself solely doing stand-up, if I ever get to that point at all. Brothers, how do I keep myself motivated at my current job while simultaneously pursuing my dream? Ambitious in Ohio.
Roman Mars gave me some amazing advice recently. And I said that, you know, I was interested in doing, like, sketch comedy, but I felt like I was too old. And I said, how old is too old? And he said, do you know how old you'll be when you're successful at it? The same age you'll be if you don't try. And it's like, okay, excellent point.
Wow, it's like that idea of, like, that dude is, like, everything he says is super on point.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if, like, one of us were like that? Like, how much better this show would be?
It would so be much really better. Good. When he said, like, when you read that, did you hear, like, an ambient soundscape behind his words? Because, like, I don't think I could talk. When I saw him at Max FunCon, I couldn't talk to him unless I started some sort of lovely ambient soundscape.
He actually just carries a tablet with him that's full of ambient sounds. And just when you start talking, he's like, holds up a finger. And he's like, hold on.
Oh, wait.
And he hits play, and you hear, like, manufacturing going on in the background.
Do-do.
It's 99% invisible.
Ba-dum.
Beep, boop, so, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
He's a robot, by
now,
the way.
Now, what Roman Mars is also a robot. Now, the question is not whether or not he should try. What he's saying is, how does he stay motivated in his current job? While pursuing his dream.
You know, the thing is, though, like, you can always find, like, I'm sure there's an open mic night somewhere near you, you know, and if nothing else, when you're at work, write jokes in your head, you know what I mean? And then write them down on your break and then do what Steve Martin did and stand in front of your mirror for hours on end and practice your jokes and hone your craft and figure out the best delivery. And, you know,
I tell you what, the only thing that ever kept me invested in, like, non-mentally taxing gigs, let's say that. The only thing that ever kept me invested, and this is a good lesson for, like, people who run a business, too, and have their own employees. The only thing that ever kept me invested was ownership. When I would be given ownership of something, whatever it was, that was something that would invest me a lot more into the gig. So, like, when I was working at Best Buy, for example, I would try to sell karaoke machines by doing karaoke there to the delight, I assume, of all the customers. And, you know, everybody would take a turn, and it was fun, but it was my project. It was something I came up with. We only had, like, two machines for sale. I'm pretty sure we never sold any, but
So not a great thing you did.
So no, when you say you tried, what you mean is you didn't try. It's you less killing about time by jerking off with a karaoke machine.
No, it's less about the impact on sales and more about the impact on myself as an employee, because I felt more invested in my gig because I had ownership of something.
But you weren't doing anything. You were just singing karaoke. You weren't
but
selling
it, that
machines.
Wasn't the only part of my job that was impacted. My whole attitude towards the gig changed. And I would take on other, like, just decide, this is your section. This is the thing that you're going to crush. And you're going to be responsible for it. It's your baby.
And it's not, Juice, can I tell you, it sounds like you really killed it.
Thanks, Griffin. I think I did a really good job. Those were not high margin items anyway. Sure. Selling one but wouldn't have made that big of an impact.
This guy works in manufacturing, though, which I think is like a gig that is specifically designed to crush those kinds of feelings with like an iron Orwellian fist. Like, then, I'm taking charge of this one nut that I put on this one door.
Then you do something that is not related to your job. Start a softball team. Take ownership of it. Buy a ping pong table. Well, don't buy a ping pong table.
How about take ownership of your stand-up comedy career?
He's asking about
jokes.
Listen, Travis, if you one more time try to tell this guy how to pursue a stand-up comedy career when that is not his problem, I'm going to find someone who's better at advice than you.
Let me throw this out.
I hate having to throw that out there on you.
I understand. Good luck. Let me throw this out.
Open the door, yell outside. Anyone want to tell me what to do? Like, yep, I got you.
What if you set up a reward system?
Cookie points.
More or less, where you say, like, every time I save $100 from my manufacturing job, I'll, you know, take myself out to dinner. I'll go see a stand-up comedy show. I'll rent a movie, whatever, but just something that makes it more than just the drudgery of work, something that feels like you're building towards a goal.
Yeah. I mean, that is good advice, actually.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
All right, you're back.
You're back on.
Yeah, I did it. Now, here's how you pursue your stand-up comedy.
God damn it.
Wait, no, wait, no. Fuck,
I blew it.
Hello, brothers. In a few months, I am moving in with some friends of mine. They already have three housemates, a couple, and the lady in the couple's little brother?
Yes.
What?
No, that sentence made sense to the people who heard it, but not to the person who said it out loud.
Okay. A couple and the lady in the couple's little brother.
It's the couple and one of their little brothers.
Oh, the lady. Okay, got it. All right, got it. The couple is going to India for 5 months, and the little brother is going to go to Thailand.
Did you almost say Thailand?
No.
You're like Anthony Bourdain. So true.
So world smart.
So savvy.
How do my friends and I tell the travelers that at least one of them will be essentially homeless when they return? That's from Moving in Melbourne.
I don't understand.
Them get home. Let them walk in. Your shit's there.
In a few months, you're moving in with some friends. They already have three housemates. The couple and the brother are leaving. How did your friends tell the travelers that? What? I don't understand.
It seems to me that they're moving to India for 5 months, and this dude's like creep sneaking in to take over one of their rooms while they're gone.
Okay, so like that's probably not legal. I don't fucking understand. You can't just like, you don't have squatter's rights if like somebody lives there already. Like if they don't know that they're not gonna have a house when they get back, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, that's why they're trying to figure out how to tell them.
How crazy is it in Melbourne? Like, is it just a sort of a outlaw sort of system where if you leave your house and somebody else rolls into your house, it's their house?
Okay, let's mathematically bust this down, okay? A few months, moving in with some friends of mine, so we can assume that the non-moving parties are more than one person. We'll say it's two people. They have three housemates. It's a big-ass house. It's got five people in it. Three of the housemates are leaving for a period of time, and then when they return, they're not going to have a place to live anymore because you're moving into their house. It sounds like, depending on how many friends you have in that house, you are evicting a majority share of the house, and that's just not how, like, anything works. You can't kick out a majority of the people in the house against their will, I don't think. This isn't fucking Westeros. Like, you can't just, like, fucking...
I think what he's saying is, either the brother or presumably the couple isn't going to split. So,
make them choose.
Are you saying get some pool cues, snap them over your knee, throw them to them, and say you only have one opening? Yeah, you go there and
say, one of you will be evicted.
Why do you say it like decide. That? Oh, that's your Australian accent.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good. Not great.
Throw another shrimp on the bar.
Terrific. Fantastic. Bye, Australia. How are
all you Sheilas
out there? Hey, Australia, thanks for listening and supporting us.
Oh, they know. I've got an Australian friend. I can say whatever.
Sure. Sorry, Travis. Thinks you sound like Orson Welles.
Yeah.
All
and
of you.
And fat Orson Welles, too.
You're welcome.
This is the fucking House of Leaves of my brother, me questions. I still don't understand the scenario.
Can I just suggest an answer that we have gotten more leaned on more frequently, I think, in our twilight years? Just tell them. Tell them and sit and use your word and just tell them.
Can I role play this, though? You be the person telling, and I will be the parties that are moving away for a while.
Crikey, Jim.
Okay, start
I'm
over,
sorry
but better.
To have...
Do a try again.
Okay.
Start over.
Gar blimey, Governor.
Nailed it.
I have some bad news for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
When you're moving out, it's going to be really hard for us to sustain.
Oh, we're not moving out.
Rent.
We're just hopping out to Australia. We're going to... But, you know, feel free to sublet them, but then when we're going to get back, because we're a majority share of the people living in the house, we're just going to
hold
back
on.
Right in there.
You bring up an excellent point, Griffin. Are they planning on paying rent for the 5 months they're gone?
See, I would like to suggest, I would like to make a motion to table, reason being that we do not have enough information to accurately and professionally solve this problem.
Seconded.
Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
I abstain.
Motion passes.
I abstain until marriage.
Let's get paid. March is National Start Your Business Month. All right? Listen.
And April is National Finish This Business Month.
You hate your manufacturing job. You love stand-up comedy. It's time to start your business. Don't worry about the numbers. Jesus take the wheel.
Start a stand-up comedy business?
Start your own stand-up comedy business for National Start Your Business Month. And LegalZoom is going to help you. You can form your own corporation or LLC and file your DBA.
Also, these are some funny motherfuckers. They will write all your goofs, 100% of your material. They are the Bruce Valanche of third-party legal companies.
This month only, you can take advantage of... LegalZoom's got a National Start Your Business Month special. You get a free 3-month trial of the all-new QuickBooks, which is worth $120. Well, $119, but still... And that's when you enter my brother in the referral box at checkout. So that's pretty great. And it's just because we love you. QuickBooks makes it easier to run your new business, your stand-up comedy business, and you're worth it. So please keep in mind, LegalZoom provides self-help services and can connect you with the right attorney. But they're not a law firm. What they are the funniest, legal document assistance company on the planet.
You like this podcast? You think this podcast is funny? You should listen to the LegalZoom cast. Fuck me.
Oh, shit. Jokes on jokes.
Sides like Jack the Ripper.
That's LegalZoom.com. Use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. They have it intercapped here. I don't know if you need to do that, but MYBROTHER and LegalZoom. Start that business. You're worth it.
Kick it off. Guys, my brother, me is also supported by Warby Parker, which is a new concept in eyewear. Glasses are expensive in most cases. I just actually I bought some glasses like a dummo, and it cost me $600 million.
It's Borat.
Are you telling me you got rid of the Randy Jackson shades?
The Randy Jackson shades were apparently my prescription in those particular frame-os were, like, ancient. Because I went to the doctor, and he's like, let me try this. And I was like, oh, shapes.
You could suddenly see through the wall.
I remember shapes, sure. so, yeah, I got rid of those I got one of those Randy Jacksons. I got Lucky Brand, like the jeans, and they're cool. I think they look all right, but on the inside it says Lucky You, which I also have a pair of jeans that say that on the zipper when you unzip them. So, like, if you're getting into the act of intimacy, and then it's like a little banner that's like, hey, I'm a douche nozzle. Anyway, that was a very long...
Don't be a fuck-up like
don't
Griffin.
Be a fuck-up. I fucked Parker. Up so hard. Go to Warby Parker, and you can get fashion-forward prescriptione glasses that start at $95.
What?
Yeah, and they include anti-reflective anti-glare coating. I did pay extra for those on my stupid-ass douche glasses.
And that $95 includes the prescription.
Includes so prescription, like, includes not the, just frames, the frames, and includes the anti-reflective and anti-glare coating, which you should use if you use a computer a lot.
Now here's the, like, let me give you the big best thing about Warby Parker, the thing that Griffin really fucked up. They have a home try-on program. They're going to send you five pairs of glasses to right to your house. You try them on, you pick the ones you want, preferably the ones that don't say Lucky You on the inside. And then you send them back, the ones you don't want back. You don't are not obligated to buy anything. It's like a gift for you. They also have prescription polarized sunglasses for $150. No big deal.
This
just
is a great
protect your eyes.
That's a great deal, because what I had to do was go to the glasses store by myself, put on glasses, and take pictures of myself discreetly using my phone, and then send them to my wife saying, do these make me look like an asshole?
We've all been there. I did the same thing the last time I tried on stupid glasses.
Boy, do I love taking pictures of myself in public. Don't do that. Go to Warby Parker. If you go to warbyparker.com/mybrother, you can get free 3-day shipping on your five home try-on frames, which is crazy. So go do that. warbyparker.com/mybrother, all one word. And don't embarrass yourself in public.
Got a message for Alita from Will. Alita says, you filled... Oh, this seems like a song, but I'm going to try my best. There's definitely...
No, do it like a beat poet.
Okay. Can you guys give me some, like, some beats?
You know that yeah, that's not the, what beat
it comes
poets
in between.
Do.
Doomed. You fill me with such love and joy since before I got on one knee. But marriage to you is greater still. It's how we were meant to be. This year, we made discoveries like UU and D&D. Commitments that strengthened ours and brought you closer to me. I know not what next year will bring. Besides that, we will see. But I don't care.
Everywhere you look, everywhere there's a heart.
There's a heart. There's a heart. So that's the end of it. I assume she didn't have enough room to make up the last rhyme. So, but I don't care. You're my snuggle bear. I'll just write that for Alita. So well, I'm glad you guys are in love. That makes me very happy, Alita and Will, and I hope you have many more to come. Travis, do we have any other messages?
We do, for Tommy S. It's from Claire S. It's a special birthday wish. I'm hoping the McElroy brothers will gift to you a new term of endearment. You've had the same one since 2002, and only their collective genii can replace it with something better.
Genii, it's the plural of genitalia.
I see. I love you so much, and look forward to the next 150 birthdays together. P.S., let's make a baby. Boom!
What is...
Okay. Whoa!
Why are we
dear
booming?
And then it says, dear McElroy brothers, please help with a knit... And then it's cut off, so I don't know.
I assume it's new baby.
A new baby.
All right.
I can give you some. Okay, so here's what you're going to need to do. Here's how that all works. New term of endearment.
What's baby maker?
What's the name? Claire S. How about this? Claire's.
No, okay, it's, so for, it's Tommy. For, no,
it's
we're
for Tommy.
Oh, it's for Tommy. Shit. Bricks.
No, but call him Claire. How about that?
What about Tommy's?
King baby maker.
Uh-huh.
What about Prince? Prince is too much.
Baby hose.
Squidgy face?
Rummy tummy tom tom. No.
Rummy tummy tom tom is very good.
Tommy gun.
Tommy like gun.
Knows.
Like the porn star?
Yeah.
I think Tommy gun's a boxer.
Tommy touch a lot.
Tommy toucher.
Tommy toucher.
Touchable Tom.
Tom.
Ricky Ticky Tommy.
Earl Ray Tomlin.
The Tommiest.
The who's Tommy? Yes, the Who's Tommy. That will be fine. This wasn't an expensive message. Whose Tommy's good enough for this, I think. Wonderful.
Still think Rummy Tummy Tom Thomas.
I'm sticking with Rookie Tiki.
You have many options that you can choose from at your discretion, so please enjoy them.
Hello, I'm Judge John Hodgman.
And I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne.
Can you force your girlfriend to listen to heavy metal music?
Is a machine gun a robot?
Is it okay to take coupons out of the garbage if you're Canadian?
What should you do if your parrot attacks your husband?
Can you prove that Crank 2 is a good movie?
Only one man can decide. Judge John Hodgman. If you have a case for the judge's court, visit MaximumFun.org/JJHo. If you just want to listen in, find us on the web or free in iTunes.
My boyfriend and I look extremely alike with pale skin, blonde hair, and blue eyes. Everyone new we meet automatically assumes we're brother and sister. We've been dating for almost 2 years. However, this problem still hasn't gone away. How do we crush the assumption that we're siblings without having to explain to everyone beforehand that we're in a relationship? That's a good one.
Oh.
When I was in college once, I went to a 7-Eleven with a girlfriend at the time, and we were getting some Slurpees, and we got the Slurpees, we took them up to the register, and the guy inexplicably went, "Are y'all brother and sister?" And we were like, "No, like, we're not. We're boyfriend and girlfriend. We're dating." And he felt so bad that he gave us our Slurpees for free. So I guess that this story...
Why would he just, like, volunteer that judgment?
Right, right. I guess this whole story is to say, like, you shouldn't. Like, you can maybe turn this into free Slurpees.
This could be worse.
You could actually be brother and
sister. Or they could think you're, like, mom and son.
I have never, and I don't think there's any exception to this. I have never gone to a restaurant with my wife, because she's a much more attractive human than I am. I've never gone to a restaurant
categorically
with my wife.
And objectively.
Yes,
and
in every respect. I have never
intellectually.
I've never not been asked, "Are you two together? Is that are these separate checks?" Never not been asked.
Is that
the
true?
Assumption I have to imagine the assumption that she is in some way my caregiver. That is the relationship that we share, that it could not be a romantic one.
Somewhere the waiters are going, "How long does Big Brothers Big Sisters last?"
Yeah,
because like at some point they grow up and you stop hanging out with them, right?
This is a wicked Big Brother at this point. This brother is aged.
Biggest brothers, biggest sisters.
So it could be worse. I mean, the obvious answer is you just dye your hair, right? Something fun.
Who does it, though?
Get a full face tattoo.
How do you decide who does it?
You both have to do it. That's the Wait, deal with Justin, the devil you're going to make.
But, like, dye their hair the same color?
No. One of you go red, one of you go blue.
Someone's getting the short end of that stick.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that would go great with one of their looks. I don't know.
How about, like, homemade t-shirts?
Not his brother?
Yeah.
You say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you got to wear the same shirt every day.
Who is asking you about this?
I can see, like, if you meet new people, someone being like, "So, are you two brothers?" You know, like, well, no.
No, see, like, I told that delightful Slurpee anecdote, but, like, outside of that, this has literally never happened to me before. Nobody ever, because everybody's fucking bad at this. Nobody, like, everybody knows how bad they are at this. Nobody would say that. Nobody would guess. What? It's like a faux pas on the level of, like, "Hey, when's a baby due?" Like, you don't fucking say it. You don't say that shit.
Here's an idea. When you meet new people, when you're being introduced to them, and someone says, like, "Hey, Steve, come over here and meet my two friends," immediately start making out.
Mm-hmm. Well, then...
Just, like, hardcore. So that way, either Steve is going to safely assume that you are not brother and sister, or Steve is still going to assume that you're brother and sister and be real freaked out.
Maybe.
Or maybe Steve's down.
Maybe Steve's
Listen,
down.
Listen, I don't want to judge Steve at this point. I don't know what Steve's into. Hey, I don't want to label
sure.
it. You know, that's Steve's life. I haven't lived his life. I haven't been there. I don't know what he's seen or done.
I just can't believe in 2014 that this is an issue.
The people are still this presumptuous.
I know. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it seems a little nutty to me, too. I mean, I guess you could just introduce her or him or her as your partner in smooching.
Do you guys want Yahoo?
I guess. Yes.
Okay. This Yahoo was sent in by Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray?
Who wants to know? Thank you, Ira Ray. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oh, Didgeridude, who asks.
Pretty good.
Nice.
Why won't they let me play the didgeridoo as part of the band for our church choir on Sundays?
Wait, hold on. Is this a dude who identifies himself purely based on his didgeridoo skills?
Or it is a sentient didgeridoo.
Why won't they let me play myself? Pastor says can't play with myself no more.
This is an important question.
I'm sorry, Griffin, one more time.
Why won't they let me play the didgeridoo as part of the band for our church on Sundays, our church choir on Sundays?
It would be super dope.
Period. That's it.
Yeah.
That would be
hear, like, Amazing Grace, and every so often just like,
our God is an awesome God. He reigns from...
It just sounds like the beginning of Survivor every time. That'd be so dope.
Listen, churches are trying to get, like, fucking hip with the kids, especially with their music, because it's, like, easy to just, like, hey, we have an electric guitar. We're basically Switchfoot. I think there's a lot of alternative percussion going on there. A lot of gym.
Every church now has a didgeridoo, a rain stick.
A didge, a jim, a jimb, a jimbe. A rain stick, a glockenspiel, and handbells.
And that's it.
And that's it. And they make beautiful.
It's a ragtag group. You would think, no way that good music comes out of that. But then they win the church band competition. Mm-hmm. And they save the rec center.
Justin, are you
I'm mixing a lot of genres.
You're being very quiet. Are you Googling didgeridoo or?
No, I know what a didgeridoo is. It's only in front. I just guess I don't understand the question, really.
Is there something inherently sinful about the didgeridoo, I guess, is the question.
It's phallic.
It is extremely phallic, and you do put your mouth on it, and I do not think that that is something that they would appreciate at the front of the congregation.
But they let Miss Margaret play her oboe in the church band.
And that's the most phallic instrument there is. It's got foreskin.
I have seen people play didgeridoo in public before, and every time I see it, I have exactly one question. It's always the same question. What are you trying to prove?
That they can play didgeridoo well?
Hey, check this out. You said I can't play didgeridoo, but I can prove you wrong right now, categorically. We all do very good didge impressions, I think.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that you play a didgeridoo by putting your mouth on it and making didgeridoo sounds through it.
It's just a tube.
Yeah.
And that you make didgeridoo noises into it.
I play a didgeridoo with this cardboard tube.
Yeah. Do you remember that book we used to have as kids? 100 household items that you could... Hey, kids, turn these household items into didges. Got that from the library. It was a fun rainy day activity.
It was called What Can't Be a Didgeridoo?
Toilet paper rolls. Your hands. Paper towel rolls. Wrapping paper rolls.
Your will.
Saran wrap rolls. Biscuit tins when you take the biscuits out. As long as
they're very carefully. Don't unwrap it.
Don't unwrap
then
that
you
shit.
Can't get a good sound.
You can't didge an unwrap biscuit roll? Stupid fucking
That was the sequel book.
Dummy.
How to didge an unwrap biscuit roll. 100-step process.
Croissants. Croissant.
Can you dig a croissant?
You can. Oh, baby. Yep. You ain't lived until you dig a croissant. Gotta be a big and thick one, though. Gotta be a grand croissant. And you burrow a little hole in there like you're making pigs in a blanket, but you're not. You're making a dig in a blanket.
I once lived in a pig in a blanket.
No!
Me and my pig friend Porky. We live inside it, tuck me in at night, I'm Amelie.
Your Amelie sounds a lot like your Snowden, but without a lisp. Have you noticed that?
Do people ever think they're brother and sister? Okay.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We are brother and sister, it is true.
He hides
inside my heart.
I once used the Amelie DVD as a didge. Not a deep, yep. Not a lot of reverb on that particular didge, but...
Thank you for digging my movie.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I didn't watch it. I just digged it.
That's actually what digital distribution means. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yep.
It means sending a movie through a didgeridoo.
It's a man who describes hit films while talking to you through a didgeridoo.
And the dream is actually within the dream, and then he wakes up and it's Inception.
It's totally depressing. He's a slave for 12 years, even though he's a free man.
So, for the second time, they have to pretend this dead guy is alive. It's Weekend at Bernie's, too.
It's important that they ditch the name of the sure.
Didgeridoos.
We're done. We did it. We got to the end. And you made it the whole way, so you have to take some ownership of that. You listened to the whole thing, and that's on you. It's my brother, and me, and we're so happy to be able to do it for you every week. Next week is huge. It is our first of two Max Fun Drive specials. We are ramping up the Max Fun Drive. There's going to be lots of awards and presents you can get for supporting the network, plus an opportunity to help make the best podcast network in the world even better. And you're going to be able to be there for that. It's going to be a great show. We hope you will join us.
We do some extra long eps. We got that bonus app for anybody who donates. We also have back catalog of bonus episodes. So if you haven't donated before and you give this year and you start your contributions, then you'll get all of that. You'll also get bonus episodes from every other show on the network. It's a pretty crazy amount of content at this point.
I think you'll get, I think there are like five My Brother and Me's, two.
I think it's like, what? I think it, either three or four.
No, because we had the Max Fun Day episode.
Oh, shit.
There's five My Brother and Me's. There's two with our dad. There's two riff videos that we made, like goofing on an old educational video, and there's actually 15 minutes of our Austin live show.
Oh, that's right. I mean, that's just us. Like, every show on the network is going to have stuff like that too. Like, you should also be listening to those other shows if you're not, like Bullseye and Throwing Shade and Stop Podcasting Yourself and The Goose Down and Sawbones, and you'll get bonus shit for all that stuff too. So just think about if you have listened for a while and you've never really thought about it, just give it a ponder. Ponder if you can help support us, because that is like we get some scratch from the, you know, Jumbotrons and the advertisements and stuff. But like a bulk of the support that we get is through the Max Fun Drive, which is incredible. So, think about keeping us afloat.
That'll all be next week. Thank you to people.
And the week after. It's a 2 week, and the week after. 2 week affair.
Thank you to people tweeting about the show, like Jeremy Baker, Louisa Heron, Tom Chamberlain, Paul Weathers, Kim G, Drew Davenport, Scott, Patty Benny, Moogie, Dr. B, so many others. We really, really, really appreciate it.
And we want to say thanks again to LegalZoom for supporting the show and for offering that just baller QuickBooks deal. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. So just go to LegalZoom.com and enter the discount code MYBROTHER to get that awesome, awesome QuickBooks deal. And just check out the services they have. If you're looking to start a new business, this is the month to do it.
You want
to
write a will?
You planning on dying? You got to hit there first.
Yeah. Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Had a listener tweet at me and you. Saying that they finally caved and bought the album. Not sure what took them so long. It is fucking phenomenal. So go check that out and buy it where albums are sold.
That's going to do it for us. My brother, and me, we got one more question from Ditto. Griffin, hit us.
Sure. This one was sent in by Emerald member Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Selena, who asks, does rolling and licking the blunts give cancer?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
420.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported. I'm Cameron Esposito, and each week I'm joined by my fellow podcasters, Rhea Butcher.
That's me.
And Ricky Carmona.
I am Ricky Carmona.
We talk about action and sci-fi movies on a little show called Wham Bam Pow. You can find it on MaximumFun.org. It's amazing.
Super fun.
True that.
Reviews, news, and stuff you can use.
Yeah.